You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Thursday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I'm your host, Eric Kane, here on the Locked On Vols podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at _Kaner, and you can follow this podcast on Twitter at Locked On Vols. You can subscribe, download, rate, and review Locked On Vols each and every day, weekdays that is, Monday through Friday. Whenever you wake up, it'll be made available wherever you choose to get your podcast from. What a win last night for Tennessee on the hardwood. We're going to break down that 89-81 win over Georgia, a win that looked like it was going to blow wide open points and times in the first half and the second half, but one where Tennessee really kind of had to hold on to get that victory. So in segment number one, I'm going to break down that game. In segments two and three, Ben McKee from the Swain event and from Rocky Top Insider is going to join me. We're going to break down where exactly we are in this defensive coordinator search and kind of the thoughts on Josh Heupel overall two and a half weeks in to his tenure here on Rocky Top. So a big show coming up here on Locked On Vols. Again, each and every weekday, wherever you choose to get your podcasting content from. 89-81, the final score from Knoxville Wednesday night. Georgia did not play well in the first half. Again, this is a team that, you know, averages about 77 points per game, and they were kind of going quietly into the night. Tennessee came out and were leading by 12 at some point, led by as many as 23 at 65-42 at the beginning of the second half. Tennessee led at the half 44-26, but it was Georgia that stormed back, scoring 55 points in half number two, ended up losing by only 7 at 89-81. Still, you know, Rick Barnes is not happy with that defensive effort, specifically in the second half when Georgia was able to improve on a 34% tally from half number one. Defense was not great. It wasn't closing it out. Tennessee was careless with the basketball, finished the game with 17 turnovers altogether, where Georgia was able to have 15 points off those turnovers. But in the end, this is the second straight game where Tennessee's finished in the 80s. Not a season high. Tennessee scored 100 twice this year. One that comes to mind is against Tennessee Tech, but in SEC play, this is a season high. 89 points. There's a lot to like offensively. Of course, a career high from freshman Jaden Springer. His second consecutive game setting a career high. He had 23 points on the road to Kentucky on Saturday night and then finished with 30 points, 18 points in the second half against Georgia on Wednesday night. Tennessee shot over 50% from the field, finishing at 52%, 27 of 52 made baskets. After one half of play, I believe the halftime stat was Tennessee scored 1.2 points per possessions in the first half. It was one of the most efficient halves of basketball Rick Barnes has had here in Knoxville. So really a lot to like about that Tennessee game midway through, and still a lot to like. I mean, Tennessee still scored 45 points and outscored itself by 1 point in the second half, but it was the defense that I mentioned that was slipping, the turnovers, the carelessness with the basketball in the second half, really in the last 10 minutes, that allowed the door to kind of creep open and get a little bit open more for Georgia. But all in all, it was still, I mean, Georgia never broke within 7 there towards the end, and you know Tennessee had it in control. The story of the night, Jaden Springer, 30 points, 9 of 11 shooting from the field, 3 of 4 from long range. You talk about efficiency, that is getting it done right there. He was also 9 of 12 for the charity stripe, had 4 rebounds, had 2 assists. 35 minutes played. Jaden Springer had himself a ball game. But outside of Jaden Springer, I mean, let's look at Santiago Vescovi and Josiah Jordan James, 19 and 18 points respectively. Keon Johnson added 11. And so Tennessee had 4 players score in double figures on the night. And this was a short, this was kind of a short, you know, rotation for Tennessee because E. Pons didn't play in this ball game. Rick Barnes said in pregame on with the Vol Radio Network on an interview that he had a sore knee and he couldn't go. And so we'll have to keep tabs on the availability of Eve Pons, you know, heading on into the weekend. Obviously, that's a big piece that you need right there. Tennessee, obviously, I mentioned the defensive struggles in the second half and the last 10 minutes of the game. But didn't really need e-pawns in this ball game, but Tennessee will certainly need e-pawns moving forward. So it was a good win for Tennessee. I mean, it really was. It was a good win for Tennessee that should be celebrated. 89 points in SEC play, that's something Tennessee will not do consistently. But what it has done consistently the last two ball games is get into the 80s. And this is an offensive team that I've talked about the last 2 weeks, talked about with Josh a little bit following that loss at Ole Miss. Doesn't have an identity offensively. But you're seeing these freshmen be so assertive with the basketball right now, driving to the hoop. Even Santiago Vescovi did it a little bit as well. Josiah Jordan James continues to be the unsung hero. You talk about efficiency, 5 of 8 from the field, 6 of 7 from the line, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. I mean, he does everything. Tennessee's playing unselfish basketball, and that's what you like to see. So can you continue to carry this on? Got a big challenge coming up, obviously. I've talked about the month of February, but you're going to be at LSU on Saturday. That is going to be a tough, tough challenge. Then you come home against South Carolina, Kentucky, and then at Auburn. So a lot in store for this Tennessee team, but something to be proud of. An 89-81 win. It was a late game, 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. One of the highlights of this ball game: Keon Johnson slams it home. I mean, Keon Johnson played fine. He only finished with 11 points. It wasn't his best game. He played for 27 minutes. But, you know, coming off that 28-point effort against Kentucky, SEC Freshman of the Week honors, obviously, Keon Johnson made the highlight play of the night. Early on in the second half, let's let Bob Kessling, Burt Bertelkamp take it the rest of the way. Audio courtesy of the Vol Radio Network.
47-28, Tennessee. Vescovi in front court. Kyers all over him. Now he gives the ball up to James. James to Johnson. Down low it goes to Fulkerson. Fulkerson to Johnson. Down the lane. It's slammed with one hand. A windmill slam by Keon Johnson.
That's an unbelievable dunk.
49-28. Here's Wheeler swinging the ball out. Kyer pulls up a long three. Is no good.
Push off.
Horn push off.
What a play by Keon. I mean, he just kept going up. Kept going up. And threw it down. His head was even with the rim.
It was a windmill slam flying down the lane.
In
what
traffic.
A replay. Yeah. Man.
That was nasty.
What a play. 49-28.
Man, I didn't know Burt was going to make it there for a minute. I mean, oh gosh. I love hearing his audio highlight calls, man. Again, that's courtesy of the Vol Radio Network. So, man, that was fun. And it was fun seeing that play happen. Keon Johnson is just a freak of an athlete, as is Epons. And it's fun watching them go to work. So, final score, 89-81. Tennessee will have to tighten up on defense. You know Rick Barnes will preach and preach and preach that. Second chance points. Georgia had 15 points in that ball game. Georgia had 31 points off the bench. I mentioned the short rotation for Tennessee with the absence of Epons. But Tennessee was outscored 31-7 from bench play. Points in the paint, 46-32 advantage Georgia. It is what it is. Tennessee did take advantage. Really, both of those teams took advantage of fast break opportunities because of all the turnovers. But when the dust settled, Tennessee was able to hold off in large part because of a 23-point lead at one point in this ball game early in the second half. And it was the final score, the 8-point victory, 89-81, Tennessee over Georgia inside Thompson Bowling Arena. So Tennessee will be at LSU on Saturday. And of course, we'll break it all down on the Monday edition of Locked On Vols. Coming up later in the show, Ben McKee will stop by. We'll talk Tennessee football, defensive coordinator, and Josh Heupel. All that's relevant here on the Tennessee football beat so far. But guys, let me tell you about my friends over at Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. You can go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpets. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, you can get everything you need in just a few easy clicks. Delivery is right to your doorstep as well. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts when you can get them cheaper at rockauto.com? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car, your truck, your SUV. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Again, rockauto.com. The catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate through if you want to check it out. Quick and easy. The parts are available for your vehicle. You can choose from different brands, specifications, all the prices you prefer. Again, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Hey guys, remember February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and successes of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than a Game. You don't want to miss this week's episode featuring Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and Erica Ayala of the Locked On Women's Basketball discussing the opportunities and challenges that come with being Black women in sports. There's a new episode coming next week, so go ahead and subscribe to the Locked On Presents podcast feed. That's on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, I want to welcome to the show a dear friend of mine, a guy that works so hard on the Tennessee beat. He is the co-host and producer of the Swain Event every single morning, as well as the publishing editor of Rocky Top Insider. His name is Ben McKee. Ben, thanks for joining me today, brother. How you doing?
I'm well, Eric. I appreciate you having me on. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, always, man. I just kind of want to touch base on exactly where we are on this defensive coordinator search. I feel like the last two coordinator search, and of course the offensive coordinator back in the winter of 2018, that was under a previous regime. Or I guess it would be the winter of 2019, whenever the one that got Jim Chaney to town. And then this one, the first four, Josh Heupel, it's gone on and on and on and on. And so Al Washington looks like he's a no-go. Blake Baker looks like he's a no-go. What are your thoughts on this process so far for Josh Heupel and staff?
Oh, where do you want to start? There's so many opinions to be had with this defensive coordinator search. I realize that fans are not as patient right now, and I understand that. And Josh Heupel, unfortunately, because of the position he was placed in, isn't in a place where he can necessarily be patient either, which is that's tough to ask of Josh Heupel, because on one hand, you want to take your time and make sure you hire the right guy. Don't hire somebody just to hire somebody. But then on the other hand, Josh Heupel needs a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
There are players on the defensive side of the ball that are contemplating whether or not they want to go through spring practice, whether that be Henry To'o or Kavarius Crouch. And I know you mentioned Al Washington being a no-go, but if Tennessee were to have brought in Al Washington, or if something changes with him, to me, I feel like that would be a big help to bring back Henry To'o or Kavarius Crouch, because you look at Al Washington's track record of developing linebackers at Michigan and Ohio State. You can go back and look at what he's done developing defensive linemen and running backs too. I mean, wherever he has been, he has developed at a high rate. His players have been all conference players. So you want to be able to bring in somebody that can help ease the stress of the current players. The defensive players don't know who their coach is going to be. The offensive guys do. The defensive players are in limbo right now. They have no idea what to expect from what they are going to receive, who is going to be coaching them. So not only do you need to kind of get a guy in place to help ease that stress level of the current players, but also there's a ton of defensive players within the state of Tennessee that are being recruited or should be being recruited right now, and not just in the state of Tennessee, just recruiting in general. It would be nice to have everybody in place so that you can truly hit the ground running, not just with Ty Simpson and the offensive players, but get a head start on the defensive players that you want to recruit as well. So I hate that Josh Heupel is in that conundrum of needing to hurry up and get somebody in place so they can start working on the things that I just mentioned. But also, you don't want to rush through a hire and just hire somebody just for the sake of hiring somebody, because then you may be stuck with somebody that doesn't jive well with your staff. So there's that dynamic. And then it seems like he's having a hard time finding somebody. And whether that be because his offense isn't attractive from a defensive coordinator's perspective, I think you go back and you look at his past offenses. I believe they gave up more than 13 points in all but one or two games this past season. And so if you're a defensive coordinator, a guy like Al Washington, who this is going to be your first step as the DC, are you willing your first step, your first chance at being a DC, to be at a place where you're likely going to look worse statistically than you actually are? Like your defense is going to give up more points than what your defense ability would indicate, just because the offense is going to put you in compromising situations. So is that the reason that Josh Heupel is struggling to find a DC right now, or is it because of the current state of Tennessee football in general, which isn't Josh Heupel's fault, isn't Danny White's fault, but just where Tennessee football is, unfortunately. So it seems like Tennessee is struggling to find a DC. I don't think there's any bones about that. And I wonder if they circle the wagons and try to find somebody that would, without a doubt, accept the job rather than trying to branch out and explore all options.
Yeah, and as I've said all week long, this is a developing story. I mean, there had been different layers to the Al Washington. I mentioned in yesterday's podcast that his name has dominated this cycle the last 48 hours in terms of Tennessee and defensive coordinator. Right now, it doesn't look like it's promising. Things could change 5 minutes after we hit publish on this podcast. That's usually how things work. But it is a developing story, and it'll be interesting to see where Tennessee goes next. I want to bring up a point you mentioned right there in terms of recruiting. You know, Josh Heupel and the offensive staff have done a great job reaching out and establishing relationships to offensive prospects around the country and in state. Not so much on the defensive end. And there's a couple of really good defensive players here in the state of Tennessee, because you don't have a defensive leader over there. And a prime example of what can happen, and I don't think this is the end of the road for him, but, you know, Keaton Wade, twin brother Destin Wade, Summit High School, just won the Class 5A state championship. He put out his top 8 or 9 yesterday. Tennessee didn't make the cut, and can you really blame him? He has no clue what the philosophy here is going to be, what the direction of the staff's going to be. And so I don't think Tennessee's out of the race. I think when Tennessee will get a coach and, you know, establish that relationship, I think Tennessee could play itself back in there. But right now, you're not helping yourself out really at all. And so a little interesting there. But, you know, Ben, right now, if it's not Al Washington, if it's not Blake Baker, and, you know, it was reported earlier on Wednesday that Blake Baker is going to stay at LSU. I saw you tease it on a tweet, a name that you guys threw in there on the show this morning. Where do you think Tennessee should turn, and where do you think Tennessee could turn next?
Tennessee should turn to Casey Rogers, the defensive line coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who was once the defensive coordinator with Todd Bowles in New York with the Jets. And I think by now we've learned our lesson, maybe outside of Adam Gase, but not to judge a coach by what they do with the Jets. I think Todd Bowles proved to be a daggum good defensive coach on Sunday night when he just absolutely spanked the tails of the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But Casey Rogers was with Todd Bowles there at the Jets as the defense coordinator, and has been working with the defensive line there in Tampa, just won the Super Bowl. Talk about the defensive line, and talk about Todd Bowles and what he was able to do. How about the defensive line and what the defensive line was able to do for Todd Bowles and that Bucs defense to slow down Patrick Mahomes? And Casey Rogers has been working firsthand with that defensive line, Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul. You can go on and on and on about the names. Former Vol, played at Tennessee in the early 90s, had a short stint with my beloved Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's a grade A hire in my book, just for that reason. But Casey Rogers, tremendous football mind. I do think that he would be somewhat interested. I think he would be interested in listening to Tennessee. I do think there's maybe been some initial contact. I don't know that there's been interviews or it's gone to that extent, but there has been some conversations between the two sides. So that just, to me, seems like an easy fallback plan, but I also don't know that it's a fallback plan. I think Casey Rogers would be a tremendous hire, especially given the current situation of some of the hurdles that we've talked about with Josh Heupel and Tennessee football in general.
We will have to see where Tennessee's defensive coordinator search leads it the rest of the week. And obviously a developing story, and one that fans want to kind of have a conclusion to pretty soon. So we will have to see. Guys, tons of action tonight on the hardwood. You got some top 25 action. Purdue's going to be at Minnesota. USC on the road at Washington. You look over to the NBA, a couple of VFLs in action. Grant Williams in the Garden hosting with the Celtics, the Raptors. You got Tobias Harris on the road heading on, taking on the Trailblazers. The Warriors will be hosting the Magic. Tons of action going on right now tonight, and Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but as I just pointed out, NBA, college basketball, the NHL are in full swing, and BetOnline even covers the awards, TV shows, and reality television. So real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's completely free to sign up. So head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% off welcoming bonus on your first deposit using that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We continue on with Ben McKee, the co-host producer of the Swain Events morning radio show in Knoxville, Tennessee. Of course, you can get that anywhere you get your podcast. Also, Periscoped. He is the managing editor of Rocky Top Insider. And Ben, I want to get your thoughts here as we conclude the show. Just overall, Josh Heupel, I know it's incomplete. I know there's a lot of work to be done. But initially, about 2 weeks on the job now, kind of your overall thoughts on Josh Heupel to Knoxville so far.
Yeah, the more I hear about Josh Heupel, the more I think about Josh Heupel, the more I talk to people about Josh Heupel, I like to hire more and more and more. That doesn't mean that he's going to be successful, but I like the potential of Josh Heupel. And it really gets back to, again, what we were talking about with the defensive coordinator search as it relates to the head coach search by Danny White. I think Tennessee did the best it could given the circumstances. Given the situation, I think Tennessee did the best it could. It tried to go out and get a Power 5 proven head coach. It just did not work out. And you did the next best thing, and that's go out and get a proven non-Power 5 coach that is on the cusp of getting a Power 5 job. And yeah. The offense, I think, is something that should really excite Tennessee fans. But the reason the hire has grown on me, and the reason I've come to like to hire more and more for Tennessee, is because with some of the knacks, or the knocks rather, on Josh Heupel when he was hired, I think you can debunk those theories. And not for the sake of putting on some orange-colored sunglasses and talking yourself into the hire. I think there are legit reasons to the knocks that were on Josh Heupel. Obviously, there was the knock about how UCF got worse. Or not that they got worse, but he took Scott Frost's players, and that's what allowed him to be successful. But when you really go back and look at it, you look at the offense, you look at the quarterback position, it got better statistically after Scott Frost left. And once Josh Heupel became head coach, there was talk about the regression from 12-1 to 10-3 to 6-4. I get it. But again, if you kind of dive in, you see that. Again, the offense was getting better, and 12-1, that's regression from an undefeated season. Obviously, one loss after an undefeated season is going to be regression. 10-3, technically regression, sure, but that's still a really good season. It's hard to win 10 football games at this level. So
not happened here in a long time.
Exactly. And so I don't knock him for the 12-1, the 10-3. The offense got better under Josh Heupel after Scott Frost left. So I don't know that you can say that he was using Scott Frost players. And then this past season, they went 6-4. But I truly think this was a situation where COVID impacted UCF's football team. They had 10 opt-outs before the season. Middle of the season, he had to kick off 4 defensive starters because they were riding around Orlando with loaded automatic guns. 4 defensive starters. So that's 14.
Not great.
Not great at all, Bob. And then in the just before the bowl game, they had 3 more opt-outs. So by the time the end of the season rolled around, they had 17 guys opted out. There's also the knock about him being fired at Oklahoma. But again, if you kind of dive in there, the offense wasn't necessarily the problem. Oklahoma has, as a whole, did not have an Oklahoma-esque season. Somebody had to be the scapegoat. Bob Stoops wasn't going to fire defensive coordinator Mike Stoops, his brother.
And that offense scored 36 points a game.
Correct. So firing the offense coordinator, I think that's a little weird. And then that doesn't worry me because he's gone elsewhere and had success offensively. Utah State, Missouri, UCF. He's bounced back from that and had success elsewhere with lesser talent. So I don't knock him for those knocks, the perceived knocks. So I've grown on him in that regard. And as in terms of what he's done so far on the job, I think he's done a really good job. of hiring support staff and recruiting staff, people behind the scenes that you're not going to see, you know, out here every day of the week. You'll hear about them maybe once a year, and that's when they get hired, or if another job is pursuing them, or if they get a raise or an extension or something of that nature, or move into a different role. But you go through and you look at some of the hires he's made off the field in his support staff roles, people to help him in the recruiting department. I think they're really good hires. They're people who are well-respected within the business. Some of them have ties to Tennessee. So that's what has impressed me the most. Ultimately, we'll see what he does with the defensive coordinator job. I think that'll signal how his first month on the job went.
Yeah, Ben, I know it's, you know, we'll close out here with this last question. I know it's a little unfair to ask this question right now, but it's what fans want to know. And so to the best of your knowledge, you know, expectations for year one, right now when the team still doesn't have a defensive coordinator, right now when the team still has holes in its roster, but eventually, though, you know, eventually someone's going to be hired. Eventually, the roster turnover will stop. Spring practice will happen, and there will be a football season in September 2021. You know, given what you know right now, what's your expectation for Josh Heupel year one? Maybe not even a win loss record, if you will. But what's your expectation for Tennessee football in the year of 2021? Right now, here in the month of February.
I mean, I think it's a bowl game. I don't think that that's a firm expectation, like 100% you must reach a bowl game or you're just a complete failure. The season was a complete failure. But I do think a bowl game, six, maybe seven wins, if everything went well, I don't think that that's an unrealistic expectation. I would go more towards five or six wins, but seven would not stun me. And it's not necessarily because of Tennessee. It's because of the opponents on Tennessee's schedule. This is the easiest non-conference schedule that Tennessee has had in years. Now, I'm sure somehow Pittsburgh will find a way to be a top 10, top 15 team. It seems like that always happens to Tennessee, whether it be West Virginia or Oregon or some of these other teams that they've played. But you look at the schedule, easy non-conference. Even with Pittsburgh, I think Tennessee should win all four of the non-conference games. South Carolina, first-year head coach. Ole Miss, they're going to put up points, but their defense isn't going to be night and day difference than it was this past year. You'll be able to put up some points on Ole Miss, so I think that's a winnable game. Vanderbilt, new head coach, you're better than Vanderbilt. So even just the non-conference, the four non-conference, and Vanderbilt, that's five wins right there, assuming you take care of business. And then can you pull off an Ole Miss, a South Carolina, a Missouri? Three games that are very winnable. I mean, you're looking anywhere from six to seven wins in that frame if you can pull off some wins in there. So I think six, seven bowl game should be the expectation. And again, that's not necessarily because of what Tennessee has, but it's more of a product of Tennessee's schedule. And the other big thing real quick, Eric, they're going to be better at the quarterback position. I truly think that if they had better play at the quarterback position, and this is a whole different conversation, but if they had better play at the quarterback position this past year, then their record looks totally different than what it ended up being. So I expect whether it's Hendon Hooker, Harrison Bailey taking a step forward, or maybe Caden Salter is ready to go from day one, I expect Tennessee to have better quarterback play.
We can agree there, my friend. He is Ben McKee at BenMcKee14 on Twitter. Give him a follow. Ben, thanks so much for the analysis, the time, and we'll get you back on here many, many times, my man.
Always appreciate you having me on, my friend.
A big thanks to Ben McKee for joining the program here today. And as always, a big thanks to you. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Locked On Balls podcast as we recapped a Tennessee game against Georgia, as well as touched some base on some news and notes involved in the Tennessee football programs. It's your weekly Tennessee Volunteers podcast, Locked On Balls. You can follow this podcast at Locked On Balls at Twitter. And of course, you can follow me, your host, Eric Kane, at _Kaner. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe, and download each and every podcast from your available platforms. It's the Locked On Vols Podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network.